when you're talking about conflict, conflict resolution, there's this tendency to sit and stew and hold on to your pride rather than reaching out. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life without taking ourselves too seriously. I'm Brad Kearns, New York Times bestselling author, former number 3 world-ranked professional triathlete, and Guinness World Record Masters athlete. I connect with experts in diet, fitness, and personal growth, and deliver short breather shows where you get simple, actionable tips to improve your life right away. Let's explore beyond the hype, hacks, shortcuts, and sciencey talk to laugh, have fun, and appreciate the journey. It's time to be rad. I'm so excited to introduce you to Peluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Peluvas give you the most authentic barefoot-style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Peluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Peluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Peluvas, living in your Peluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Peluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Peluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Peluvas, let your feet be feet. Relationship advice, tidbits. I want to refer to another great article that was published on themedium.com by Anthony Moore. The title is Why Most People Will Never Have Great Relationships. Oh boy, isn't that clickbait? Let me click here and find out. Let's do something about it. And Anthony talks about a counselor that gave him and his partner a piece of advice that would end up changing our lives. Always make the first move. And quoting from the article, the meaning is simple. If you can help the relationship, then do it. Don't wait for the other person to act. Even if you don't want to do it, make the first move. Most people have strained and superficial relationships with family and even friends, and we could say coworkers and anyone out there, because of that pride that's holding us back from making the first move. Most people wait to do whatever it might be, even to reach out to try to make social plans or things that are not emotionally charged. But of course, when you're talking about conflict resolution, there's this tendency to sit and stew and hold on to your pride rather than reaching out. So I love how he points this out in the article. You can't lose making that first move. And I also put this into the mix when we're talking about people who are struggling with personal ordeals. So I make it a point to reach out and communicate with people when they're involved in, for example, a relationship crisis or a family crisis. And a lot of times, I think the baseline position for most of us is to say, oh, I don't want to bother them now. They've been going back and forth to the hospital for 6 weeks, and I'm sure they have their hands full. Or we make these stories and these rationalizations because reaching out might be a little uncomfortable depending on the topic, especially someone who is involved in relationship strife or recently became separated, divorced, widowed, all those kind of things. But I don't think you can lose very easily. I don't think you're going to bother someone who's struggling and in crisis when you reach out and make the first move. And oftentimes it can mean all the difference, because guess who is very unlikely to reach out and make the first move? That's right. Someone who's struggling and not well or not whole or exhausted or involved in an ordeal. So, bring that energy to the world, make the first move and try to make things better. And boy, even when in your own personal struggle and your own head and your own ordeal, sometimes reaching out can help you get out of your own space and become a win for you too, even if you're the one struggling rather than reaching out to someone else. And so here's a list suggestions for Anthony Moore. Initiate the conversation, send the first text, say that you miss them, say that you love them. Boy, isn't that great advice, where there's a simmering conflict, whatever's going on, where things aren't great, and you're still allowed to wake up the next morning, or when the person walks in the door, who knows what the last interaction was. Maybe it was a huge fight or a huge conflict. You're still allowed to go and say you love them. You're also allowed to apologize and ask for forgiveness. That's on the list. Maybe just apologize. I'm going to challenge Anthony Moore there and not add ask for forgiveness. I think we make that mistake a lot, and it kind of tarnishes the apology, like I talked about with the list of Chris Gage's suggestions. When you say, "I'm sorry that you were so pissed at me," or "I'm sorry, but you're always late, so why shouldn't I be late?" Those are not apologies. Those are bullshit, emotionally immature statements. And asking for forgiveness as if you're the one in control of the other person's emotions, or that you want to resolve the conflict on your time frame, I think can tarnish the apologies. That's my personal insight, is when it's time for an apology, you apologize. Let the other person decide whether they're even going to accept it or not. Maybe they don't feel like accepting it right now. You still apologize, and they can say back to you, F off. And that's the way it's going to go for a while. Okay. No one owes you forgiveness. Okay. Back to the list. Organize a social gathering, compliment them, thank them, tell them you appreciate what they did. And I think we'll end this short tidbit. Of course, we can always expect some interjection from the great John Gottman and the Gottman Institute and the great work that John and Julie Gottman are doing there. And he talks about basically their life's work that they became so prominently recognized for was studying happy, successful, romantic long-term relationships that have lasted over 20 years with that same emotional spark and the feeling of being in love that happened at the outset, which is possibly not that common these days. If you look around, especially at the divorce rates now, I think drifting over 50% of all marriages. So that's a landmark that's probably not discussed enough at the big gatherings at the country club with the fancy dinners and the speeches. But anyway, those couples that have that magic and preserve that magic for a long period of time have been especially scrutinized and studied by the Gottman Relationship Institute. And one of the cool things that they're known for is they actually created this lab, which is an actual living space, an apartment with a kitchen and a living room and a couch. And they have cameras and observe happy couples in action. And so that they can pull out these insights. One of them that Gottman talks about are the small bids, quote, bids is his term for these little overtures that happen throughout the day between couples, and the great, tremendous importance of being receptive to your partner's bids. So a bid is a ask for example, attention. And the other partner has three options when experiencing a bid. One of them is to ignore it. One of them is to brush it aside and shut it down. And the third one is to be receptive. And Gottman's argument, with a lot of science and research behind it, is that when you seemingly unimportant little bids start to stack up. And so if you have a tendency to ignore your partner's bid or shut them down, this kind of stacks up to be big problems. And it's a much better strategy to be receptive, even if it just takes a tiny bit of time and acknowledgement. You will start stacking the positive interactions by being receptive to your partner's bids. And this could be so much as two people are in the room and they're both reading something different. One partner is reading about the trial on the front page of the newspaper and says something like, "Wow, the jury's been out for 11 days on that big trial." And the other partner goes, "Huh." And it doesn't comment beyond that. So that would be sort of a rejection, or somewhere between neutral and rejection. And a flat out rejection would be, "Can you please be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate on sending this email right now." And of course, those are warranted and appropriate at times where you have to reject the bid and you don't have time to converse. But generally speaking, it's super easy to go, "Oh, interesting. You sound like you're really following that well." And that would be a way to be receptive to the bid and validate the partner's request for attention. Same with, does this dress look good on me? I'm thinking of wearing it. And if you say, I'm too busy right now, I can't come up there and look at it, or yeah, whatever is fine. Those are being neutral or rejecting, rather than saying, let me see. Yes, I think you really look good in black, and that's one of your best colors along with purple. Okay, so the traits that we see from successful long-term romantic relationships lasting 20 plus years, besides that receptivity to the bids that I jumped in with, also on this list: empathy, emotional control, and overlooking the negative and focusing on the positive attributes. And the Gottman Research Institute reveals that the ratio of positive to negative comments in a happy, successful, long-term thriving couple is typically 20 to 1. 20 positive comments to every negative comment, criticism, or contention. And even in times of conflict, happy, successful, long-term adjusted couples maintain a ratio of 5 positive comments to every negative comment. Even in times of conflict, I tried to do some improv on the spot at one of my shows a while back, I remember, but I think I only got to 4 comments. But it's something like, "Honey, I love how you like to squeeze so much into every day and really live life to the fullest. And you're so social and friendly, especially on the phone. You always have time for when your friends or kids call. And I also love your positive spirit and your carefree ideals. And the other thing is, because we're running late to the appointment, I would really appreciate it if you paid closer attention to the time." So I think, did I hit 4 or did I hit 5? 5 compliments before saying, "Get off the freaking phone and let's go because we're running late." But you can see how much better received it would be if you couched every point of constructive feedback or criticism or contention or what have you with 5 positive comments. All right. All right. Yeah, you can write those down. Your free-spirited approach to life, meaning, "I know we're always late, but hey, I really appreciate this, and about you. And let's try to get there on time next time. Thank you for listening, watching The Breather Show. Send us your comments to podcast@bradventures.com. All right, more to come. I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad. Thank you so much for listening to the BRAD podcast. We appreciate all feedback and suggestions. Email podcast@bradventures.com and visit bradkearns.com to download 5 free ebooks and learn some great long cuts to a longer life, how to optimize testosterone naturally, become a dark chocolate connoisseur, and transition to a barefoot and minimalist shoe lifestyle.